Pastor was going to be out of town about a week ago, and he asked me to preach for him. I said, I'd be delighted to do that. And you know, sometimes you have to wait on the Lord to get a word from the Lord. And I didn't have to wait long because I really felt like as soon as Pastor gave me the word that he wanted me to share this night, immediately it came to me. It came to me about teaching how to move forward in life. Because, you know, over the last 30 plus years that I've been in the ministry, I think probably what I've had to deal with more often than not is people that are either stuck in the past. It could be a divorce. It could be a business that failed. It could be a relationship. It could be something in the financial arena. It could be something in the business arena. It could be something that happened when they were a small child. It could be dreams that they had at one time and they were believing God for things to turn out and they didn't turn out the way they thought they should. And for some reason or another, they felt like, well, this is the way it's always going to be. And you know, for a lot of years, I've counseled people with a lot of different situations, whether it's marital or social or economic, many different situations that I've had to deal with. And I've always given the same advice, no matter who I talk to and no matter what I'm addressing. I've always said this about a person in the situations that they find themselves in. And that is this, and I hope that you'll listen to me when I say this. Concerning moving ahead in life, if you feel like you've been stuck in a rut, and what is a rut? Well, it's just a grave with both ends kicked out. That's what a rut is. If you feel like you've been stuck in a rut, just let me give you some good practical advice to get out of where you are. If you feel like you're stuck, if you feel like that you're just not going forward like you need to be, remember this advice. If you always do what you've always done, then you're always going to be where you've always been. And you're always going to have what you've always had. I'm going to say that again. If you want to get out of your rut, if you're stuck in a rut, if it seems like things aren't moving forward, you need to realize that no matter what situation you're facing, if things are staying the same and they've been the same for a long time and you haven't progressed much, just remember this. If you always do what you've always done, you're always going to be where you've always been and you're always going to have what you've always had. But I got news for you. God doesn't have a plan for you to stay that way. God has a plan to get you out of it. Some people are stuck in the past because they've blown it. And in our church, we talk about faith a lot here. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Another way I could say it would be this. We walk by what God says in His Word and not how we feel. I'm not saved because I feel like it or don't feel like it. I'm saved because God said in His Word that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm saved because His Word says I'm saved. I may not always act like I'm saved. Come on. I may not always live like I'm saved or carry myself like I'm saved. But when I called on the name of the Lord, I passed from death onto life. And I'm saved whether I feel like it or not. And I'm an overcomer tonight whether I feel like it or not. Glory to God. And I'm above and not beneath tonight whether I feel like it or not. In all things, I'm a conqueror tonight whether I feel like it or not, because I didn't ask my feelings how I felt. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And when you take God at His Word and forget how you feel, you're on your way to victory. Some people don't feel like fighting the good fight of faith. God didn't tell you you have to feel like it to start fighting it. He just said, go ahead and start doing it. Some of you think, well, I've just done so many terrible things, there's no way that God could ever use someone like me. Oh, yeah? I believe He can. Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 26. And we're going to look at a man who probably blew it as badly as anybody ever did. And this man we're going to talk about was later on used of God in such a way that he wrote most of the New Testament. But I'm going to tell you something. He wasn't always an angel, and he never did have a halo over his head, and he never had angel's wings. But the man was sincere. He was raised, I'm talking about Paul now. Paul was raised as a Pharisee. How many of you know what a Pharisee is? A Pharisee is a legalist, and they're not fun to watch. And the reason why they're called a Pharisee is because they're not fair to see, you see. That's why they're called a Pharisee. Then there's another bunch, and they're called the Sadducees. And they're sad, you see, because they're sad to see. They're legalists. And Paul in his day was a legalist. He never knew until after he got born again that the Bible says if any man be in Christ, they're a new creature. Did you know that when you got born again, you became a new creature? Tell your neighbor you're a new creature. Now, we don't like to use that word creature, but that's what we are. The Bible says we are. You need to just lengthen that word out a little bit. It makes more sense. You're a new creation. A new creation in Christ Jesus, created on the good works, the Bible says, which God has ordained that you should walk in them. But he's made you, as a born-again believer, a new creature. But that revelation that Paul got, he didn't always have that. Amen. At one time, Paul was a bad guy, and he was sincere. Paul, when he followed God as a legalist, as a Pharisee, he was sincere as could be. But he was sincerely wrong because he didn't have an encounter with Jesus. I use an analogy like this. When my older kids that are growing up were little, when I lived up in Minnesota, I'd take them every Friday night to a skating rink. It was 5 miles outside of town. So I would take them to the skating rink. I would drop them off. They'd go skating, and about 2 hours later, I'd come to pick them up. I did that every Friday night. This one particular Friday night, I brought them there just like I had every other time. Dropped the kids off. 2 hours later, I went back and picked them up. So I'm driving down the same highway that I'd traveled down many times, only up north, the policemen have a red light. Down here, you get a blue light special. Not from Walmart either, or Kmart. Amen. But I was driving down the same road that I'd driven down many, many times before. Only this time when I drove down the highway to go back to my house, I saw a red light come on. And I'm thinking, that looks like a policeman. A couple seconds later, he's right behind my car. And I realized, that guy, he's after me. So I pull my car over to the side. And I said, "Officer, what's the problem?" He said, "You were going a little bit fast, weren't you?" And I said, "No, sir." He said, "Well, how fast were you going?" I said, "I was watching the speedometer. I was going right at 55 miles an hour." He said, "Well, didn't you see the sign back there on the corner?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "Well, they've rerouted the traffic off the interstate. And down on the corner, they put a sign up there. And it said, no speeding over 45 miles an hour." I was doing 55 in a 45. Here's the point of it, folks. I was sincere. But I was sincerely wrong. And so, you know, just because people are sincere about the things of God, sincere about what they believe, sincere about how they're trying to get out of situations, doesn't mean that they're necessarily on the right path. And this is where the Apostle Paul was, or he was Saul at that time, but this is where Saul was. We'll take it up with chapter 26, and he's talking about his situation here before Agrippa. And starting in verse 8, he says, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" Boy, that's a thought right there, isn't it? How many of you know he can still do that tonight? He says, "I verily thought with myself." Notice he wasn't thinking with God involved here or the Holy Spirit. Jesus wasn't there. It says, "I thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus." He says, "Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison." Not a nice thing to do, is it? Well, two of you don't think so. He says here, "Having shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, when they were put to death," he says, "I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue. Notice that he'd go right into the synagogue to punish anyone that followed after Jesus. He says, and I compelled them to blaspheme. In other words, he tried to make them blaspheme Jesus and blaspheme the things of God. He says, and being exceedingly mad. You ever met a hothead? This guy was really bad. David, he was really bad, this guy. I mean, he was really bad. He was exceedingly mad against them, and he says, and I persecuted them even onto strange cities. Paul was so sincere in going after Christians that he thought were off the mark that he would even chase these guys down and go to cities where he didn't even know he was going. That's how much zealousy that guy had that he was walking in. He says, whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, not from God, not from Jesus, not from the Holy Spirit, but from these religious guys, the chief priests. And what happened? It says, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, he says, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue. This is neat to know that even in 2011, on May the 18th, God knows your name. He knows who you are. And glory be to God, he speaks your language. He knows how to touch your heart. He knows exactly what you're facing tonight. He knows what you're going to face tomorrow. He knows what some of you have been dealing with for years to try to get over the hump. And I believe that there are certain times when you hear a message and you know this message is right for you because you've been stuck in a rut and things haven't changed. But I got news for you. Just like the Lord had his eye on Saul, all the time Saul was missing it, God had his eye on him. Even when he was doing everything wrong, God had his eye on him. Even when he was zealous to a point of many, many faults, killing people, having Christians, you know, put into jail because they were following after Jesus. And yet, the Lord had his eye on that man all the time. You know why? Because when God looks at man, he looks at the inward part of man and not the outward part. And when God looks at you, he doesn't see all the stuff you're doing. Yes, he does, but he's a faith God. And he's called the author and the finisher of your faith. Matter of fact, the Bible says, he that has begun a good work in you. Oh, let that sink in. He that has begun a good work in you will continue to perform it until the day of Christ. It's God working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when the Lord saw him, the Lord talked his language, called him by name, not once, but twice. How many of you know when your mama calls you by your first name and your middle name, you're in trouble? But he said here, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? See, here's something to remember. When you're going through life, and maybe you get in the flesh a little bit and you wrong someone, you don't just wrong that person. The Lord takes it personally. When the Lord was talking to Saul here, he didn't beat him over the head, but he reminded Saul right from the get-go. He said, Saul, Saul, why did you persecute me? He says, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Think of what it would feel like, folks, to have a swimsuit on running through the desert through a cactus patch. Can you picture that? That wouldn't feel very good, would it? But this is what he's telling Saul. He said, Saul, don't you realize that the way you're going, you're kicking against the pricks? There's something not right. It'd be like if you guys came in here tonight and you got ready to hear me preach to you, and I said, okay, I'm getting ready to give you the word, but I got to get myself ready. Okay, now I'm ready. So I start preaching and I never turn around. Well, it wouldn't take very long and you'd be thinking, there's something wrong with this guy right here. Something not right with this picture. Well, what he was telling Saul was, look, Saul, you were sincere, but the way you were going, couldn't you figure it out, Paul? It wasn't working. You've been going the wrong way. You've been going the wrong way. Something isn't right. Something doesn't line up. There's got to be a different direction for you. And he said, the reason why it hasn't worked is because every time you kick against the pricks, you're going the wrong way. But he still believed in him. That's the good part about our God. He says, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And I said, this is crazy. After God knocks him off his high horse, right at noon, broad day sunlight, and his brightness is brighter than that light that's shining on my head right now. And the Lord speaks to him, and then he says, who are you? And then he says, Lord. And then he spoke and he said, I am Jesus who you persecute. Jesus takes it personally when people are wronged. But watch this. He knew that this guy was a murderer. He knew that this guy was a religious zealot. He knew this guy was going the wrong direction. He knew this guy's life was a mess. I mean, you talk about someone that did a lot of bad stuff, that had a lot of baggage he was carrying. But yet, the Father was so good, Jesus was so wonderful, that he looked beyond all that stuff. And he didn't see Saul as Saul. He saw him as Paul. He didn't see him the way he was. He saw him through the eye of faith the way he could be. Could you prosper tonight? Could you have a great relationship tonight? Could you see your finances go right through the ceiling, irregardless of the economy? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because we serve a miracle-working God. When he had that encounter with Saul, when Saul was on the road to Damascus and God knocked him off his high horse, this is what the Lord said to him. He said, rise. And I believe that's a prophetic word tonight. The Lord is coming to some of you tonight by the Spirit, and he's telling you, rise up from where you're at. Rise up and let those dreams come back into your heart. Rise up and go after those things that you know God's told you can have. Rise up from where you are. Things are going to get better. Rise up from where you were. Things are going to get better tomorrow. Rise up in your faith. Rise up in your expectation. Rise up from where you are because there's better days on the horizon. He told him to rise up. Some of you might be sick. In the name of Jesus, rise up and take his healing. Some of you might be having trouble financially. Rise up and believe that he is Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord, your provider. Some of you have been troubled in your mind. Rise up and know his name is Jehovah Shalom. He's the Lord, your peace. He said, rise up. Glory to God. And the next thing he says is, stand upon your feet. Now, this is a guy that was just murdering people, having Christians put in jail, but yet the Lord looked beyond that. He said, rise and stand on your feet. You know what he was saying? Get up. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Don't look to the past. Don't measure yourself the way you feel like you are. Begin to rise up and understand that I've got a call of God on your life. Rise up and know that my hand is on you. Rise up and know that I've got plans for you. Rise up and know that there are better days ahead for you. And he rose up, glory to God. He said, stand on your feet. Why? Because I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of these things which you have seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto you. Watch this now. Delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you. And this is the same guy that was murdering Christians. And just like that, he said, I want you to rise up. Didn't tell him he had to go to a Bible school. Didn't tell him he had to meditate in the Word day and night, even though all those things you have to do. But he immediately said, this is what I've called you to do. You may not have been doing it. You may not have ever seen yourself doing it. But this is what I've called you to do. And just like God had a call for Saul, God has a call for you. He's got a purpose for you. He's got things for you to do. He says, of which you have seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you. To do what? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and their inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Watch this now. As soon as the Lord talked to him, he didn't wait on it. He took the word of the Lord and he ran with it. Watch this now. He says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. He says, for these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Isn't that something? Talk about a quick turnaround. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue this day. Let me stop right there. Why does the Lord want to be involved in your life? I'll tell you why. Same reason why he wanted to be in Saul's life. Because he wanted to help him. Amen. Amen. Some of us are too proud to ask God to help us. Some of us have never thought about asking God to help us. And that's all God's wanting to do is help us. Too many people are trying to fix their own problems without the help of God. And that's the wrong way to live. Matter of fact, some of the most spiritual people that I have ever met in my life have dealt with many big problems. And they always have one simple prayer that they pray when they need it. Help! Someone said, is God hard of hearing? Well, he's not nervous either, so anyway. But he got help. It says, having therefore obtained help from God, I continue this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. And then he goes on and talks about Jesus and what he did. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 9, if you will. So he began to follow hard after him. Hold your place in Luke chapter 9. And then I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, this is what Paul had to do in order for him to go on in life. Philippians chapter 3. In verse 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But he said, but this one thing I do. Now, in our day, people talk about being able to multitask, right? You know what, someone that, like a mama. A mama's a multitasker. But did you know that you can't multitask and be good at everything that you're multitasking? But if you stick to one thing at a time and stay with that one thing, you can get really good at it and you get things done. But if you try to do a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit over here and a little bit over there, you get so scattered out, you're doing a lot of work, but you're not getting much done. Why? Because you're spread out too thin. And when Paul had that relationship with the Father like he did, he said, you people at the church of Philippi, he said, there's only one way you're going to be able to go forward in life and have the victory that you're looking for. Watch this now. He said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. And what was that one thing? He said, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. You know what that means, folks? That means in order for you to move ahead in life, you have got to learn to let the past be the past. Now, how do you do that? Well, did you know that when God created your body, He made it a certain way for a reason? Because He wanted to make it easier for you to learn how to forget the past and move forward. Why do most people struggle in life? Because they're never satisfied with where they're at. They're either trying to be in dreamland, way off in the future, or they're looking to the past and they're thinking about all the mistakes and all the regrets and all the dumb things they've done. Welcome to the club. And they don't take advantage of today. But He said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are past, I'm pressing on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, when He made our body, He made it a certain way for a reason. Okay, are you following me? Let me just show you how that works. Where are your eyes, on the front of your head or on the back of your head? If the Lord wanted you to go through life looking ahead but looking back, this is just a thought now. Why didn't He put one eyeball here and another one here? If He wanted you to go forward in life, then why didn't he just slant one ear this way and another one that way? If he wanted you to keep looking back that way, why did He make your feet both pointing that way? Did you ever think about that? Why didn't He make one foot like this and another one like that? You know what you'd look like? You'd look like a penguin trying to get around. If I would have wore a black jacket and a white shirt, you know, it would have been better. And then just think about it now. Your eyes are this way. Your ears are that way. Your feet go that way. Hint, hint, hint. And if that's not enough, if you want to hug someone, what do you got to do with your hands and your arms? If God wanted you to go through life looking that way, He'd have had one eyeball here and another one there. One ear this way, another one that way. One hand going that way and another one that way. One foot that way and one foot that way. But He did not make anyone in here like that. Praise the name of the Lord. He did that to make it as easy as He could for us to go forward in life. So if you need a reminder of what to do to go forward, just look in the mirror. Say, well, my eyes are on the front of my head. My ears are slanted that way. Anyway, you're getting it. You're listening real good. So He said, forgetting those things, everything in the past, forget it. Why? Because the past is past. You say, how do I forget the past? Forget it. You know how they say it in New York? Forget about it. Tell your neighbor, forget about it. No. How do you do that? Well, you do it by faith. You just say, Lord, I thank You that yesterday's gone. And this is the day You've made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Every day you got a choice to rejoice. Take that choice. And then He said, once you've learned the secret of forgetting the things that are behind, He says, then you're able to reach forth onto those things which are before you. Listen, if you can't forget the past, you can't reach forward for what lies ahead of you. God says, I've got some things in front of you. What things does God have in my future? He's got good things. Amen. Listen, if He's the author and the finisher of your faith, that means you've got good days coming. Glory be to God. You've got health coming. Amen. You got finances coming. You got divine appointments coming. You got good things coming in your future. Why? Because God's the author and the finisher of your faith. The days that God has written out for you, they're good days. Glory be to God. They're happy days. They're up days. They're victorious days. They're overcoming days. They're winning days. That's the only kind of day God plans on. Doesn't the Bible say, as He is in heaven, so are we on the earth? Is he broke up there? Come on, help me out. Is he defeated up there? Is he sick up there? Is he broke up there? Is he barely getting along up there? Well, thy will be done as it is. Amen. As he is in heaven, so am I on the earth. If he's an overcomer in heaven, I'm an overcomer on the earth. If he's a winner in heaven, I'm a winner on the earth. Glory to God. If he's anointed up in heaven, I'm anointed on the earth. Glory be to God. If he's a miracle worker in heaven, we're a miracle worker on the earth. Look at Luke chapter 9. I told you to go there about 10 minutes ago. Did you find it yet? Luke chapter 9. Jesus is traveling with his disciples and they go towards a Samaritan village. And when they weren't getting the attention like they thought they had, it's kind of funny because in verse 54, it says, "And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord," real nice guys, "Lord, will you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them like Elias did?" Nice guys. No. "But he returned and rebuked them, and he said, you know not what manner of spirit that you're of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." You didn't get that. "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them, but to heal them, but to prosper them, but to bless them, but to increase them, but to help them." Glory to God. That's what the Son of Man came for. "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives." Don't let anybody tell you if bad stuff is going on in your life that the Lord has anything to do with it. Look at this scripture. "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." "And they went to another village. And as it came to pass, as they went on their way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said unto him, Look, man, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And he said to another, Then follow me." Watch this guy now. "But he said, Lord, I'll do it, but first suffer me first to go and bury my father." Now, when I first read that, I thought, boy. Because right after that, Jesus said, "You guys just forget about that and follow me." He said, "You follow me and let the dead bury their dead." But when this fellow said, "Hey, Jesus, you know, I really do want to follow you. I really do. I really want to follow you. But before I do that, I need to go and bury my father." Well, some of you that haven't realized this before need to understand that back in Jesus' day, when someone died, they didn't have refrigerators. They didn't have cooling systems. So you know how long it took them to bury him? One day. When they died, before the sun went down, they had him in the ground. So when this guy was telling Jesus, "Jesus, I'll follow you anywhere, but first I got to go bury my father." Jesus said, "Look, bud, I'm up to your game." He said, "Your daddy's already in the ground, but you're trying to pull the wool over my eyes because you really got other stuff going on and you're not really interested in hearing what I'm going to tell you." Watch this now. "And he said, Lord, I gotta bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead," he's talking about spiritually dead folks. He says, "Let the dead bury their dead." He says, "But go you and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I'll follow you. But let me first go and bid them farewell." Well, we don't know how many thems there were. You know, Jesus, he had a crowd following him, right? It'd be like me telling Jesus, "Jesus, I'll follow you, but first let me go bid them farewell." Well, how many of you know, if I had a conversation with all of you, the them that I would be talking to, it'd take me quite a while to say farewell to them. You know, because I've talked to Larry a lot of times, and he can tell you, if you're a preacher, you do have a little bit of a gift of gab. You really do. Glory to God. But he said, "Let the dead bury their dead. Go and preach to the kingdom of God." And another said unto him, "Lord, I'll follow you, but let me go first and bid farewell to them that are at my house, at home in my house." What were they, a bunch of freeloaders? They were at home in his house. Why weren't they at home in their own home? It's just the way I was thinking. Anyway, something wrong with that picture. Anyway, and Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit or useful in the kingdom of God. So Jesus was saying, look, if you want to follow me, listen to me. It doesn't matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with from your past. If you'll put your hand to the plow, amen, get in the Word, stay in church and be involved and just pray and spend time with God and get to know the Father, just get a relationship going with the Holy Spirit. You follow Him and you'll follow Him out of defeat and right into victory. You'll follow Him out of sickness and right into health and healing. You'll follow Him from poverty and lack right into abundance. Glory be to God. You'll follow Him from being defeated to where being defeated, that's a thing of the past. Barely getting along, that's not even in your thought life. Glory be to God. The thought of losing, that doesn't have anything to do with you. Why? Because you're following the Messiah. You're following Elohim, the God of heaven and earth. Oh, glory to God. So you got to let your past be past. And the second thing real quickly is don't let your past determine your future. You got to learn to break out. Amen. And the Lord will break you out just like He did for Saul. And then the third thing real quickly is to learn to identify with Christ. Learn to identify. Real quickly, let's turn back a couple of pages to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Right after the temptations in verse 14, the Bible says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of Him throughout all the region round about. And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as was His custom from a small child here. And He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and He stood up, just like He was telling Saul to do. He stood up for to read. And watch this now. And there was delivered on Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And watch what He did. It says, and when He had opened the book, it says He found the place where it was written. He opened the book and He found the place where it was written. You want to get out of your past? Keep opening up the book and find the place where it's written, and then dare to do what Jesus did, say what the Word says. And when He found the place where it was written, Jesus found Himself in the Word. You'll find yourself in the Word, the real you. See, I know I get on rabbit trail sometimes, but when you're born again, you're not the person that you used to be. We started right off in the beginning saying when you're born again, you're a new creature. You're a new species on the earth. And the Bible says that old things have passed away. Glory to God. And now all things become new. When Jesus was raised up from the dead, He was raised up in resurrection life. And when Jesus comes to live on the inside of you, that resurrection power begins to work on the inside. And you're raised up in Him with resurrection power and resurrection joy and resurrection strength and resurrection ability, and resurrection anointing, and resurrection wisdom, and resurrection knowledge, and resurrection understanding. Are you following me? You're raised up with resurrection strength, resurrection health, resurrection anointing, and resurrection ability. Everything about you when Jesus comes in, it's resurrection time. Raised up a new man, raised up a new woman after God. You're the temple of the living God. We have this treasure in this earthen vessel that the excellency and the power might be of God and not of us. If they can get to you, they can get to God. If they can get to you, they can get to a miracle. You want to know why? Because when you're born of God and your past is past and you're a resurrection child of God, you're El Shaddai Jr. You're a chip off the old block. What God is, that's what you is. He stood up, he read the Word of God, he found himself in there, and with all the faith within him, he didn't care who was around in that synagogue, he didn't care who was going to hear him, he boldly spoke up and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And watch this, and he closed up the book, and I know that's what some of you are waiting for me to do, but not just yet. I'm having fun. Glory to God. I saw you back there, you know. What's wrong with you? No. He closed the book. He gave it again to the minister. Glory to God. And he sat down, and the eyes of all them in the synagogue were fastened right on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." When you hear a word like this and you know that your past is past and you let your past be past, you can say, This is the beginning of a new day. This is the beginning of a new hour, a new time, a new season in my life. Because yesterday might have been a bad day, but it ain't got nothing to do with today. Because the Bible says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it." When I wake up in the morning, I say, "Glory to God. This is the day I'm going to let my light shine. This is the day I'm going to be happy. This is the day I'm going to be up. This is the day I'm going to live in faith. This is the day I'm going to let my light shine. This is the day I'm going to be happy and not sad. This is the day where I'm going to be a miracle going somewhere to happen in someone's life." Glory to God. A new day, a new time, and a new season for you and me. Hallelujah. In Galatians 2:20, he says, "I'm crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Philippians 4:13, the Apostle Paul once again wrote to this church, and he said, "You need to get a revelation of this. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." Success comes in cans, not can'ts. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. If I am, says I am, then I am. If I am, says I can, then I can. If I am, says you are, then you are. Glory to God. See, the last thing I want to say is that when you got born again, you got heavenly DNA in you. Whatever the Father is, that's what you are. A winner, an overcomer, more than a conqueror. As far as the enemy is concerned, he's called the accuser of the brethren. The only reason that the enemy will stir anybody up to talk about you in a wrong way, or even that you'll listen to stuff trying to come into your head that's coming in the wrong way, is because it's coming from the accuser of the brethren. Well, that's good news, because if you're the brethren, you are a child of God, so you don't listen to it. And as far as the devil's DNA, did you know the devil has DNA? But you know what his DNA means to you? Whatever the devil tries to put over on you about your past, your present, or your future, DNA means does not apply. If he says, "You're not going to make it," you say, "No, does not apply." Things are going to stay the same. "Nope, doesn't apply to me." Because he's a liar. Amen? In all things, you're more than a conqueror. Let your past be past. Move forward. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we just thank you right now for tonight. Lord, we just give you praise and thank you, Lord, that it's time for people to get over the past and to begin to focus for what lies ahead.